We started off using telegraph, which the army had been using for 30-odd years, over lines that were laid, and a lot of lines were laid. In addition to that, we used flag signalling. Here and there, we used pigeons as well to send messages back from the front.
On a visit to the Royal Signals Museum in Dorset, Colonel Colin Cunningham gives me a brief overview of how military communications changed over the course of the First World War.
After about the second or third year of the war, there was a considerable move to introduce telephones on the battlefield. And they had the great advantage over telegraph that you didn't need any training to use a telephone. This is about where we start World War I. This was an example of a big set. And remember, they were only developing a technology, so this was really quite crude.
Inside the museum, there's a plethora of old radio sets and telephones, relics from the battlefield which look almost immovable.
You wouldn't want to carry that around, would you?
You couldn't carry it around. It's too heavy. You would take it to a location and actually park it there. It was a two- or three-man job to move it. And, of course, it also needed antennas, or aerials, as they called them in those days. And the biggest problem with aerials on the battlefield was that as soon as you put an aerial up, you became a target.
The examples on display here are monstrous in size when I think about how small and portable radios are today.
Basic VHF radio, which the army uses. Now, this can be used in a manpack role. In other words, the guy puts it in his day sack and will carry it on the battlefield.
And as I found out on a recent trip to the barracks of first the Queen's Dragoon Guards in Germany, it's crucial for modern soldiers to have a personal comm set, particularly out on the battlefield.
And stuff for his squadron. He will come and speak to me and say, I've got 80 men, so we'd have to get 80 radios ready for him.
Paul Jones from Merthyr is the RSWO Regimental Signals Warrant Officer. He outlines how important communications are for the forces.
It's the same in the army, no comms, no bombs. So obviously, one of the most important bits of kit is obviously your radio. Otherwise, if you can't speak to anybody, you can't ask or tell somebody to do something. So obviously it's vital. Obviously you do your checks. If you were going on a patrol, do your pre-checks, make sure your radio as well as your weapons working. Otherwise, you can't leave the gate.
So how different is the equipment being used in modern warfare compared to that a century ago?
Well, them days, obviously, all they used to do was turn a dial and enter a frequency and then press a pressel on the handset or to speak. Nowadays, before we even get to that stage, you have to go speak to people to get that frequency, then write the computer program to put that frequency in. Then you have to get another piece of kit to then put that frequency into our radios. It's a lot more technical nowadays.
How long would it take you to be fully functional as a radio operator?
Initially, you'll go do a 5-week course, and obviously when you advance through the ranks, then you do more courses. So you're talking 2-3 years to become fully geared up on all the kit. The skill fade is quite hard. Craig, what are you doing for the rest of the day?
As it stands at the moment, I'm programming the EZPRRs for use by B Squadron.
I'm sending Sapper Coates, the duty lineman, with the cable, and he will help you lay it. Do you understand?
Back at the Royal Signals Museum, I met up with its deputy director, Adam Forty. He explained why the technology on the battlefield evolved during the First World War.
At the beginning of the war, the British Army used a single cable earth return for their communications. Once they realised the Germans were listening in, they used two cables. But they found that still had a certain amount of leakage. Anywhere where bare metal touched the earth, it would still be able to be intercepted. And I think it got to a certain stage where there was a kind of paranoia in that some of the British listening positions actually listened to their own army communications to make sure that they were actually behaving properly and using the correct voice procedure. Some of the signals units, particularly the intercept units, weren't very popular at the front because they were kind of spies on their own army.
Moving on from here, a number of early sets made by Marconi were used. And that was what was brought into play at the beginning of it. These are smaller sets. All of a sudden, warfare had become mobile. Tanks had been introduced into the battlefield. And it was not possible to communicate with tanks successfully with lines, certainly not when they were moving. So it was very important. That really needed radio. And it was only the possibility of radio that allowed command of moving tank armoured forces during that time. And it was really the last 100 days of the war.
The British-based inventor Marconi had already proven before the war that this was possible when he sent the first wireless signals over open sea between Lavernock Point in the Vale of Glamorgan and Flatholm Island. But now the signals needed to be stronger and able to travel far further afield.
His company had been largely responsible for the production of most of their radio equipment that was used by the military in the war, as well as the battlefield. Marconi was developing major pieces of equipment for use on ship.
What sort of people were attracted to the signallers?
A lot of people joined the signals and were encouraged to join the signals who had good concentration, quite intelligent, were able to listen and identify things clearly. Many hundreds of thousands of people were trained in Morse code over the course of the war, very successfully.
During the First World War, the rapid development of communication technology was unprecedented, and those advances have continued into today's modern battlefield. Communication was vital to ending the conflict in 1918, and it's still vital to soldiers on operations now.